Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, February 24th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, ThorSwap updates, Luna, V2, Aggregator, and more. Let's take a listen.
Hey guys, we'll get started in just a couple of minutes as we get the speakers up.
Hey there, can you hear me all right?
Hey, yeah, loud and clear.
Beautiful.
Hey, Mogarki. Hey, how's it going?
Great, Chad. How are you?
Doing well.
Awesome.
Hey, Mogarki. How you going?
Fantastic. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we've already got some people in, so might as well just get going. Yeah, thanks to everyone tuning in for another bi-weekly ThorSwap space. We've got quite a handful of updates and news on things that are coming soon. And then we'll also do just some chat on Terra and probably open it up later in the conversation. Yeah, maybe first off, we can just do just a quick intro of each of us up here. I'll just go ahead first. Chad Thoreau. I'm a content manager for ThorSwap, so I make tutorial videos and host spaces. Mogarki, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm Mogarki. I'm the engineering manager for ThorSwap. So we've got a whole bunch of engineers working on several different projects. So I just try to keep everything organized, keep everybody on track, and keep us moving forward as efficiently as we can.
And I'm Shen. I'm the community lead for ThorSwap and ThorChads.
Awesome. Yeah, really excited to have you up, Mogarki, to get into some more of the technical side and really breaking down these updates that are coming. So first off, we are doing a giveaway on the space, so we'll just tease that now so people know to stick around. We're giving away some of the Terra ThorSwap crossover crewneck sweaters, three of them. So to be eligible for that, just stay tuned in here and we'll keep an eye on who's been in the whole time, and or people who ask questions, things like that. So yeah, and Shen, that's also up available on the store now, correct, for anyone?
Yep. Anyone can purchase it on the ThorChad store. It's thorchads.megaswagclub.co. I can try and get the link up for us as well, actually.
Yeah, that would be great. The link is a bit much to remember, but yeah, cool. So that is that's coming at the end. So let's just do a bit of a brief on Terra first, because I know that has been, of course, something that everyone is extremely excited for. Just to give a brief overview first, what that means, of course, is that there will be two pools created. There will be a Luna rune pool and UST rune pool. And once that goes live, then you'll be able to swap between Luna and UST with any of the other assets on ThorChain through ThorSwap. So that's super exciting and yield opportunities, of course. But so it was a bit delayed, but I believe as of right now, we're looking at next week, at least tentatively. So that is when hopefully all of this goes live. Anything else you guys know on that front?
Yeah, that's the last I heard. I think our best case scenario is still going to be next week, probably towards the end of the week. And we're totally ready to go from the ThorSwap side of things. So we've got the wallet integration done. We've got TerraStation. We've got Wallet Connect. We've got KeyStore. And, you know, with TerraStation, you can also use your ledger. So we should have pretty full-fledged functionality as far as Terra goes right out of the gate.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been doing a bit of testing for the video tutorial series I'll be doing to walk people through. And yeah, it's especially cool to see how you can just easily use only TerraStation if you want. I actually did that as one of the examples. So it's pretty cool to be able to just connect TerraStation only. And then even as you said, with a ledger, and then say swap to any other chain, you could just input an address without even connecting potentially, or to be able to add to the liquidity pool single-sided, earn yield on the pair, of course. Everything is still matched with a rune on the back end for the pools to earn yield. But you know, if you deposit just UST, then you're earning based on your UST rune pool share, and then you go to withdraw, and all you ever had was your Terra address. So, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I guess that's probably it to say on Terra for now. But I definitely think as we kind of open up to the audience later, I'm sure Terra could be a hot topic. So if people want to chat about that later on, definitely come up. So what else we have coming up? We also have V2. So V2 is going to be huge news coming from like really one of the biggest updates kind of ever from ThorSwap, I guess. I mean, it's a complete redesign from the ground up. So the entire UI is going to look quite a good bit different than what people are used to with ThorSwap. And this kind of addresses one of like the key things you see people talk about in the ThorChain ecosystem is just usability and user friendliness. And this V2 complete redesign launch is such a massive step in that direction, like with this completely just simplified, very easy to use design. And that is looking like, last I heard, was approximately 2 weeks. And that'll just be really cool because then we'll have like a completely new ThorSwap, completely new experience, very easy to use, very simplistic, just a common user-friendly interface, like stuff that people are used to. So yeah, Mogarchy, can you shed any light on like what has been going on behind the scenes with any development there, or if that's something you've been?
For sure. Our whole team's been working really hard on V2. It's really interesting to watch like some of the issue tracking that we've done in some of the chats. It's like people are zooming on the pixels. I'm not sure this radius corner was quite pixel perfect. Let's fix it. We're making sure the font sizes are right everywhere. Every little detail is getting taken care of. So we've put a lot of time and energy into that. In the last week, we've basically wrapped up all the design phase, a couple final polishes to do. But we've got all the screens built. We've got all the different components built. So now we're actually working on making them work and, you know, make sure that swap screen actually does what it's supposed to and connects to ThorChain in the back end how it's supposed to and get your swaps done for you. So yeah, we're getting really close on that. We'll be ready in about, as you said, about 2 weeks from now. So that's going to be a really exciting change to just provide a better user experience for everybody. And, you know, we've done the whole thing from the ground up. So that's, I think, going to be a really positive thing for the ecosystem.
Yeah, very exciting. I just pinned a tweet up as well showing a sample of it. It's kind of just a mock-up, but to anyone, just obviously we're just audio here, so if anyone, we can't walk you through it, but that is something we're talking about. We just had the idea is when this goes live, we'll probably do like a Discord stage, like kind of live walkthrough sort of thing. So that's something to look forward to. And on my end, I'm excited to play around with it myself and start doing all like the bunch of video tutorials and stuff to show off the the new interface. But yeah, that's really exciting to hear that it's like that soon, you know. It's like, because it's such a big substantial update and really simplifies things and just looks so much more user friendly. So huge stuff there.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Cool. Shen, any other thoughts on V2 or good to go there?
Not really. No, I think a lot of people have been asking for it and a lot of people are very excited. So I'm very keen for everyone to be able to start testing it and start using it. And I think we are even talking about potentially providing a way so that some of our most engaged Discord members and some of our biggest chads will be able to get to test it a little bit earlier than everyone else. But you'll have to keep your eyes on the ThorSwap Discord if you want to be part of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Backtracking slightly, I forgot to mention one thing on the Terra integration, but with that also comes the lifting of the artificial cap. So that'll also be really exciting in the coming week or so. But yeah, V2, roughly 2 weeks out. That is epic. And then tying in with V2, though I don't think it's launching exactly the same time, but definitely a big part of like the future of V2 is the aggregator. So yeah, as far as I understand it, the V1 aggregator is complete and in beta testing now. I don't know if we have any exact sort of, I don't know if we can put out any launch expectation on that, but
yeah, really... I don't think we're quite ready to give a launch date on that yet, but we've got the first version complete. We've got beta testing underway, and the first versions that we've built of the aggregator are Uniswap V2 and V3. So basically, you'll be able to take any long tail asset from Uniswap and swap it through ThorChain and get out real Bitcoin or real Luna. So that's going to be super exciting, a major addition to the ecosystem into ThorSwap.
Got it. I remember when chatting with Chad Barefoot on one of the weeklies about like the difference between swap in versus swap out. Is that expected to be like launched together, or could you see it being, would that like kind of come out in phases? Because I know what it's
no, harder. That's definitely going to be in phases. So the swap out is still pending development. ThorChain needs to do some development on their end from the core team in order to get swap out transactions working, because they need to include some extra transaction information in order to write it into the smart contract of what they're going to do. So for right now, it's going to be swap in only, and swap out will be coming down the road. But I know work is already underway on that.
Got it. And just to clarify, because it can be confusing what swap in and swap out means, this means like swap in would be to do, like in this case, the Uniswap step first and the ThorChain step as the final step, right?
That's correct. But from a user's perspective, it's just going to be a ThorSwap swap, right?
Right, of course. Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of how it abstracts it away.
Exactly.
But so then the swap out would be if you were swapping from Bitcoin to like a Uniswap asset, correct?
You got it.
Right, so that'll be some more time. But yeah, like you touched on, the simplicity there is really like the exciting part, just to abstract it away, have only to sign a single transaction and route through all these things. So you said V1, just to clarify, you said it's Uniswap V2, V3, and Sushi, you said?
Yeah, Sushi was actually created first as a proof of concept by the ThorChain team. So we've got Sushi as well. So it'll be Sushi and Uni.
Got it. That's huge, yeah. So that will be in just the V1. And then any teasing we can do as for like what the next phases of the aggregator might be, like for anything we can say there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we'll be continuing down the EVM chain. So, you know, you're talking about 1-inch and 0x, those type of aggregators, but also down the road, you know, we're going to be looking at Terra and Astroport and that kind of stuff. So you'll be able to have, you know, one interface to rule them all, and it doesn't matter what chain you need. It doesn't matter what asset you need. You just come and swap it.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited for. It's like, it really helps fulfill the vision of ThorChain to some extent, right? I mean, it really makes it any to any, and then again, like simplifying it away. So it's just signing one thing and just connecting in one place is, yeah, really, really feels like a game changer. So that'll be like one of the biggest updates.
Also, in the long run, it does a lot to enhance the security of the Thorchain network and let it focus on what it's really good at and what it's really built for, which is swapping layer one assets and not having to worry about, you know, all the ERC20s or CW20s, all the different tokens, and, you know, not having deep enough pools for those tokens. We can let Uniswap do ERC20s like wonderfully, because that's what they do, right? And then Thorchain can swap your Bitcoin for ETH or your Bitcoin for Luna. And if we all focus on what we're best at, aggregate it together, everybody works more efficiently, we get more economic value, fees are cheaper, all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's a huge point. And then we don't need all the rune bonded to secure a million different ERC20s or CW20s. And I guess adding each one kind of adds some sort of additional security risk if you're doing that right. I'm not sure I fully understand the mechanism behind the scenes there, but I guess each additional one kind of adds almost a new vector. But
for sure, because you've got to trust every smart contract for every ERC20 that you add to the protocol. So you want to make sure, you know, you don't have any malicious actors there. You don't have even just mistakes in the code, something that could go wrong, you know?
Got it. Yeah. And then again, back to like zooming back to the user perspective, it's like, that doesn't even matter, because ultimately Thorchain and on the back end is doing like the difficult swap, the swap that like nobody else is really doing. And then with aggregators like ThorSwap and everywhere else, like then you have the any to any, which is really like the dream, and it's just routing through. So massive. Cool. Let's see here. Anything we didn't touch on with aggregator that you'd like to?
I don't think so. I think that sums it up pretty well.
Solid. Cool. We've also got a bit to say on VThor. If we could tease that, it would be exciting. So essentially my understanding, VThor is, you know, to be able to stake your Thor and then with fees turned on and all of that to actually really start to like accrue this value to the holders and stakers. So what's going on in the VThor area?
Yeah, we're essentially got VThor ready to go. So it's just pending a couple other things that are, you know, on the priority list right now. But what you'll be able to do is stake your Thor and get VThor in exchange for that. And then whenever people do swaps on ThorSwap, a portion of that fee will be used for Thor buybacks. And then your portion of that pool that you've staked your Thor in is going to grow, and your VThor is going to increase in value. So I think that's going to be really exciting, just to create more and more traction around swapping and encouraging people to swap, gaining interest and yield in that way.
Totally. And to date, like ThorSwap has not had an affiliate fee turned on. But with this, it gives a way for that revenue capture to go to the holders. So it, you know, kind of allows like users to participate in the success of the platform and all of that, of course. So that'll be a big one. And I'm seeing mid-March as the target there.
Yep, that's a pretty good guess. I don't want to say mainnet by Christmas and hold us to it, but that's a pretty good guess.
Solid. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's fun to, like, we all want to know, like, when, right? But, like, it's always, things can change and, you know, it happens. But I definitely see the behind the scenes. Everyone's doing their best to crank all these different updates out. And just Thorchain as a whole, not even just ThorSwap, just, like, so much happening and a lot coming together. So I think we're going to get into like shipping season, it feels, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We've been doing a ton of building, and it'll be exciting to start sharing everything with the world.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. We got through the updates kind of quick here.
Efficiency.
Yeah, it was funny. That last space we did was like 2 hours of Terra talk, and now we're only about 20 minutes in. So let's see, where should we head with this?
You know, maybe the listeners can decide.
Yeah,
let us know where they want to go.
I would love to maybe already just start opening it up to a broader discussion. If anyone wants to just come up and kind of evolve from updates into just more loose ecosystem chat, you know, you can ask any questions about ThorSwap or these coming updates we covered, or just maybe get into broader Terra and ThorChain stuff and all the excitement there. I know that's an area we can always go for like 3 hours and stuff like that. But yeah, cool. We've got Crypto Chris requesting.
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm wondering, with the Terra update, Luna Financial Guard, I think they're calling the LFG group, just announced $1 billion worth of Bitcoin to maintain the UST peg. Just wondering if you're aware of how that's going to happen. If, you know, the only way that I could kind of think was that ThorChain may be used to help that process function. Have you guys got any thoughts on that, or any alpha?
I saw that news, but I don't know anything technical details of how they're going to accomplish that. No, I guess that's probably a better question for the Terra Luna team. I'm not sure if Chad might have any insight there.
Yeah, not that I've heard of anything official, but similar to what you mentioned, is like, it definitely got my mind going, of course, because you're like, okay, so they're securing cross-chain assets. We know, like, well, I know Doe has said that he intends to put Luna and Rune in the LP when that comes out, but that's kind of separate. But who knows, maybe pair it with some of his Rune. I'm just speculating here, but like, that would be epic, and I think like we all can kind of dream about that. But as far as I know or have heard, I don't think there's anything official there that is linking that to ThorChain, but would be really, really cool for sure.
Yeah, thanks guys, appreciate it.
Cool, anyone else want to hop up and get some conversation going? But maybe as we wait, I'll just see. Yeah, it would be was getting a message, but maybe to use it to swap at least would be an obvious route in, right? Once it goes live, to be able to buy, imagine if they bought that Bitcoin through it, it would be pretty wild. A lot of swap. Need a deep pool for that though, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're a couple months away from $1 billion in Bitcoin pool.
Yeah, definitely the dream. But yeah, it is I feel like that reminds me of, like, you know, just one of the interesting parts of the Terra and ThorChain integration is how, like, how the prices are going to be set by the ThorChain pools. You know, there was some discussion, Familiar Cow, I think it was, that had a solid thread on this of how, like, the base, like the most, what is it, the highest volume stable coin on ThorChain kind of becomes like inherently pegged to a dollar, because every other asset is priced in relation to that.
Right.
Which is really interesting, because then that also brings in like essentially peg protection for UST. So something that a lot of lunatics can get excited about. And of course, all that volume there, and which, so all the potential for fees as well.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting around stablecoins in general. Like, you know, we've seen the SEC and the other regulatory agencies saying, "Oh, we need to figure out how to regulate stablecoins." But well, they're just like sitting in committees figuring out how to destroy the world. Like UST is like, "Hey, guess what? We're backing with $1 billion in Bitcoin. You know, we're innovating. We're setting up, you know, vaults to reassure our users." So it's really cool to watch the market evolve so quickly in that space and just create, you know, the new future of finance for us.
Yeah. Do either you or CC, like, I haven't looked into how exactly like the LFG protection works, but like that Bitcoin to be backing UST, like I'm trying to understand like what exactly that means. Like, does that mean that in a depegging event that the Bitcoin would be used to buy it back up, or do you know how that actually like plays out?
Yeah, look, I think they're going to use it as like a release valve when, you know, the conventional measures that they kind of already have with Luna, they haven't released technically how it's going to work, right? And I think that's going to come out over the next few weeks. But essentially, it's when the you know, for the unfamiliar, when the supply of UST leaves the marketplace, the Luna is then minted to rebalance that peg. But obviously, if people are dumping Luna at the same time, it kind of causes that death spiral. So that's where it's designed that the Bitcoin will then sort of kick in. But how that's all going to function is going to be released, I think, in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, pretty exciting. Yeah. But either way,
I hate to just read this, but I think I found a sentence that sums it up pretty perfectly. Says the Terra team pointed out that one of the most common criticisms of algorithmic stablecoins is their reflexive nature and hypothetical risk of bank run scenarios. This has already occurred with other DeFi stablecoins based on similar mathematics in the past. So Terra has stated that a reserve will help to alleviate such circumstances. So they're doing this massive Bitcoin backing, but they're also announced that they're going to add other assets in the future too. So it won't just be, you know, a Bitcoin backstop. We'll have a whole bunch of other assets behind both Luna and, you know, the whole ecosystem there. So I think that's really cool, just to keep making UST stronger and more bulletproof.
100%. Cool. Marty, do you have a question?
Yeah, that was good. That was good analysis. I wanted to bring those things up. And, you know, while there is no on-chain contract for this yet, you know, we all suspect that there will be some kind of contract. Now, just as a concept here in reflexivity, I think, is there's assets inside of Anchor, right? Right now they're Luna and ETH that provide, you know, a portion of this balancing. There's a reserve of UST, which is short of $500 million, kind of nominally kind of external to the Anchor rebalancing. And this money is yet other money independent of the rebalancing that goes on by Anchor. So it's kind of like there's like multiple hoops, you know, that, you know, would have to happen and people in situations that would have to jump through for this actually to go in. I would guess, pure guess, that maybe Ethereum is going to be a part of, you know, the LFG, you know, beyond Bitcoin thing. And so it's potentially you're going to have ETH outside of the normal balancing and ETH inside the normal balancing of Anchor. So UST, as you well know, is the magic of the Terra system. And, you know, getting on the UST bandwagon, whatever that means, for whoever, is the game that the lunatics, including myself, play in. And kind of, you know, I look forward to being able to like start staking inside the Rune system through, you know, the Terra wallet. But thanks for holding this group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great points. It's just the BTC, like it's great to see just additional layers of peg protection. And then your mind even starts one, like hypothesizing how Thorchain could play into that, right? With like automating, like I don't know, could you have some kind of automation way of rebalancing that Bitcoin into UST, like in those depegging events or something like that, through something like Thorchain potentially. And then bringing up Anchor, like the getting way out into the future with like ThorFi and all of that, that's like that's the really exciting stuff for me. But don't know if we were going to that rabbit hole right now, but yeah, great points. Dhruv?
Hey, thanks for having me up. I know I tweeted at you before about swapping UST into like Bitcoin, especially on these dips, which is really exciting. I was curious about, like, is that the main use case that you guys envision, like being able to natively swap between assets? And like, you know, forgive me for being ignorant, because I just kind of aped into Rune a while ago and didn't do a lot of due diligence, to be honest.
Yeah, I would say that's fair to say, like, that is the core functionality as of right now. I mean, thinking into the future, like having deep liquidity cross chain and all of that, like it also allows things like ThorFi, like I was touching on a second ago, you know, kind of like true cross-chain DeFi. But at least for like the short to medium term, like what's going live, you know, very soon. Yeah, like the real value prop there is essentially a something that you would typically just do on a centralized exchange, right? You know, like think of like right now, if you want to go, I mean, of course, there's like some bridges for various chains and stuff like that, but like a lot of times you'll use a centralized exchange as a bridge in that regard, right? Like right now, if you want to go from Luna to Rune, like there's not a super clean path to do that. I mean, you could like bridge through Ethereum and stuff like that. But with ThorChain, like you have all these various assets being secured by Rune, and Rune being the settlement between them. So yeah, like then you could just straight up go from UST to Bitcoin, from Ethereum to UST, you know, really whatever you want. And then kind of looping back in what we were talking about earlier with the aggregator, you know, even to getting a little further ahead, but to any CW20 or to any ERC20, all routing through these pools. So, and then of course, like there's yield opportunities too, you know, like should be quite competitive. I mean, of course, Anchor Earn is really attractive with it just being pure UST exposure and 19.5%, but it's kind of expected that the UST pool on ThorChain should be most likely a good bit higher than that, though of course you're also having exposure to Rune. But
that's the best part about it, though, that you get the exposure to Rune to go with it.
Exactly. Yeah, in my personal opinion, that's actually the best part. But, you know, it, in some cases, some people might just be looking for the stability of,
right.
Which I agree with you though. It's like, for me, it's like, I want pure exposure to Rune on a personal level, not financial advice, but, yeah, but, you know, it to have it paired with Rune and then to have it be like hypothetically say 30% APY or higher, even potentially. And the reason why that's not a crazy, like far-fetched estimation is because the BUSD, the Binance USD pool, is currently that. I mean, it's the highest value pool, just for the pure reason of it being like a cheap and fast stable coin, so people can
I got it up right now and it's 35% currently, so there's no reason to think that UST won't be at least that high. I think it's going to drive a lot more volume and a lot more users, so I think we could see some pretty crazy APY there.
Exactly, yeah, agreed 100%. I mean, just to bring in like my personal use case, like I would never even think about most Binance chain assets really like ever, but I'm using UST like every day. And right now, if I want to use some Anchor Borrow to buy some Rune or something, like it's not directly an easy path, but like I would be using that pool directly every time I did that. Or anytime you wanted to take something from Anchor and use it to average into Bitcoin or something like that, that would be routing through this pool. So it might take a little bit, but it seems like a obvious play that it will be the deep, like the highest, should be the highest pool. So quite appealing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no GigaBrain, but like the ability to not have to go through a centralized exchange or like send my Luna or UST to KuCoin and then swap it over to Bitcoin. And then, you know what I mean? Like, that in of itself is awesome. Like, and then if you can add on to that by holding Rune and collecting all those fees, and then LPing as well, that sounds like a really attractive set of use cases there. I also wanted to ask one more question around, like, you mentioned Ethereum. Obviously, Ethereum's expensive, right? There's lots of gas. So does ThorChain help like lower the fees I'm just curious, because you mentioned bridges and this might be a separate question, but you know, how might ThorSwap be different from using a bridge?
Yeah, unfortunately there's not much you can do about ETH gas, and with ThorChain ETH gas is actually going to be even multiplied compared to like a normal wallet to wallet transaction, because you've got to worry about not just the transfer in, but you've also got to pay for the transfer out. You've got to pay the liquidity poolers. You've got to pay the protocol. So yeah, ETH gas is going to remain expensive. You know, there's all kinds of hopes and dreams about the future of ETH once it goes proof of stake and lowering those fees, but that's a problem for Ethereum to solve. As far as bridges go, you know, that's generally a lot more limited, and there's not much liquidity there, and you can't go like to any other asset. You know, you might find a bridge that moves between two chains and moves one single type of asset, but you're not going to be able to say, take your Luna and swap it for native BNB or native Dogecoin, any of the other assets that are offered by ThorChain.
Got it. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's kind of like the beauty of it too, right? I mean, it doesn't solve these problems because you're actually using those blockchains, right? Like, we've kind of had this weird world where we've like forfeited that part in favor of just like using a cheap centralized exchange or whatever, and all the negatives that come along with that. But you know, in this context, it's like, well, if you're doing a transaction on Ethereum, like, yeah, there's really no way around that. But the good news also is you don't have to use Ethereum for anything on ThorChain. It's only if that's what you're trying to do, right? So if you don't want to use Ethereum at all, you don't have to use Ethereum at all. And yeah, even with like the fee structure of ThorChain, like, you know, when you're using anything non-Ethereum, it's like really not bad. I mean, obviously it still depends on what that chain is. So for example, you know, Bitcoin is still going to be a little more expensive than like Luna, for example, but they're all very they're very easy to get your head around compared to Ethereum.
You might pay $4 instead of 13 cents, but nothing's going to charge you, you know, $200 like ETH does.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And even those bridges, I mean, you're still kind of paying at least one side of that, right? So still not cheap really that way either. Plus, like you said, then it's still just going to be one step on a multi-part journey. Cool. Got a couple other speakers up. Francis?
Hey there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Great. Thanks a lot. I just have a question about the future. So, when the BNB rune and the ETH rune are turned to raisins and then eventually dust, and all we have left is Thor rune, how will anyone without Thor rune acquire some to do a transaction? Will there be a faucet, maybe?
No, you definitely don't need a faucet. That's kind of the beauty. All you got to do is pick any other asset that's on ThorChain. So if that's native Bitcoin, if that's native Luna, you just bring it in your wallet, you click swap, and we give you back Rune. So it's a common misconception, actually, that you need Rune in order to operate on ThorChain. You don't need any Rune. You can just send your native Bitcoin, as long as it's got the correct memo on it, which the UIs will do automatically for you. We'll send back the Rune from the protocol, and that's it. One-step process.
All right. Great to know. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, definitely a great point to clarify that. Like, just to even like simply just appreciate that, like the fact that you can swap, say, like the two largest assets in all of crypto, like Bitcoin to Ethereum, and you actually don't even need Rune at all. You don't even, in the future, like, you know, with abstracting it away, you don't even need to know Rune even exists. And then if you want to buy Rune, I mean, this is always kind of my recommendation to people, is like, if you want to, well, obviously not financial advice, but if you want to buy Rune, you know, the best way to do it is to do an actual swap, like do a swap on ThorSwap or anywhere. And then you're kind of like experiencing the product for the first time, right? Like, I remember the first time I did that swap, and then I was like, oh, this is how it works. Like, this is incredible. This is unbelievable. So it's kind of cool to like experience a true cross-chain swap in order to get your Rune. You know, you could bring your own Bitcoin, Ethereum, very soon UST or Luna, and you don't even need any Rune to do it. You just need whatever you're sending in. You could literally just connect your Terra station. You'll need to set up a wallet to receive the Rune, of course, but yeah, you don't actually need anything. Cool. We've got John up here as well. How's it going?
How you doing? I just was wondering if I can get any feedback from anybody in regards to regulation, and is it possible for this project to ever be shut down? I mean, as you see what's going on in Canada, they, you know, authorities reached out to the centralized exchanges and tried to freeze people's accounts. So I'm just wondering if the roadmap is to a future of an exchange being unstoppable.
Moger, for sure, you want to,
That's a big part of the goal of ThorChain for sure, is you know, being unstoppable. We've got right now, I think it's 88 nodes as of a couple hours ago, maybe 85 still, but we're growing pretty quickly. If you guys remember, over the summer, after the exploits and the chain was paused for a long time, we were sitting at like 37 nodes for a long time. So to watch that have more than doubled in the last couple months, yeah, we've got 87 right now. Our decentralization is growing over time. We're in more and more countries all the time, more and more providers. There's been a lot of work that's being done to make ThorChain more resilient. So what happens if, you know, a provider shuts down a bunch of the nodes? How do we get them back up quickly? So we're trying to make sure that all those tools are in place, that you can bring your nodes back online, you know, no matter what happens, as long as you've got an internet connection and a couple of servers. So I think that's one of the primary goals of ThorChain overall, is to say, we're not existing in any one location, we're not existing on any one type of technology, and most importantly, there's not anyone in charge, right? There's no one that has the ability to seize funds in ThorChain. There's no one that has the ability to shut down the network. Like, what they've got to do is convince all of these distributed node operators to reach consensus, just like any other blockchain. So the more we grow, the more we decentralize, we're going to get closer and closer to that vision. But for me personally, it's been really exciting to watch our nodes, you know, more than double, getting close to tripling just in the last couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that question really touches on, like Mogarki said, one of the key elements of why ThorChain is even created, right? It's like, in order to do all this stuff in a way that is uncensorable and not trusting any custodians in the middle and stuff like that. And yeah, seeing the node growth is super impressive. And just to, like, in simple terms, you know, it would take playing whack-a-mole with all of those nodes to actually bring the thing down. And
as long as the node operators are doing their job, they've got their backup keys, they can spin up another node and we're back online. And then what? They're going to go play whack-a-mole in a whole nother jurisdiction with new ISPs and new hosting companies. You know, maybe eventually we'll have to be running all on our own Starlink networks, but whatever they do, we'll fight back harder and we will win.
100%. Love to hear it. Yeah. I also just saw there was a tweet going around just the other day about, like, the Nakamoto coefficient of ThorChain, and it was ranked, like, really high amongst some very, like, large protocols and stuff like that. So that's really cool to see.
I'll quote Chad Barriford on this topic. One thing he said a couple months ago was, the design of ThorChain is so that we never have to say, I won't do that, as far as shut down this user's account, seize these person's funds. We want to say, I can't do that. Design the protocol so that no one has that power, and the power is truly decentralized, and that's how we become, you know, more bulletproof.
Is anybody familiar with the Reggie Middleton DeFi patent?
Not me.
Not me either.
Supposedly there's a patent out there on all DeFi projects. I heard about it. I don't believe everything I hear, but I was just wondering if anybody knew or heard. That it's the creator of Veritasium. It's a token crypto project that was shut down by the SEC. And he had a patent, and I guess he was awarded a patent too. So,
That's interesting. But yeah, like, kind of circling back, like, the cool thing about ThorChain and all of this, it's like, you know, nobody's kind of in charge, right? So it's like, who's even behind it, right? Like, no one can kind of, like, turn it off or change something. So, like, you know, even if there was something like that, it's like, who would you go after? You know, you're kind of talking about, like, a decentralized, you know, computer floating in the sky that nobody controls, and nobody can kind of change course of it. So
Yeah, I mean, we don't even see people have good luck enforcing patents and copyrights across borders in traditional applications, like let alone in DeFi. You know, even just in things like software, you know, ask Microsoft how it works to enforce their copyrights in China. So I'm not too worried about that idea personally. Side note for anyone curious on patent and copyright, I highly recommend Stefan Kinsella. He has a book called Against Intellectual Property, and that was like a massive revelation for me reading about patent and copyright. But that's just some libertarian nerdy stuff.
Mm. That sounds really interesting. I gotta check that out. And I feel like, yeah, it does. That does like just relate to like the whole sort of Web3 ethos, right? It's like everything is just kind of Wild West, copied, up for grabs, pieced together. I mean, that's like true composability. Once something is solved, it's just kind of repeated, and that Lego block kind of goes out into everyone, into everything else. Like even Thorchain, like I don't know, like an example. Well, like just continuous liquidity pools or impermanent loss protection. Like these concepts weren't like brand new necessarily. It's just like piecing them together in a new way, and then somebody could even go out and fork Thorchain if they wanted to, and create like the whole thing over again. You know, like anyone is welcome to do that, really.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talk poorly about copying or think that copying is a bad thing, but I think another really good word for copying is learning. And if you try to think about, okay, we're going to ban learning, you can't do this because someone else did it before. That's probably not the best way to design your society or to innovate. So it's pretty exciting to see, you know, all the forks and how one thing builds on another. I mean, we've been just over a decade with Bitcoin, and look at this space now. It's unbelievable.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's one of the beautiful things about the space. Got Uncle Badgers up here. What's up?
Hey, man. I've got a little question. How is Thorchain, like ThorSwap, set up to be like essentially the curve of cross-chain stablecoin swaps? Like, if am I able to swap from like BNB, BSD to UST, and then UST to USDC on Ethereum network? Like, how is that possible? And is that like possibly a cross-chain curve? And also, in the long run, how does that like help the UST peg?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, I think that's one of like the almost like overlooked areas of Thorchain, right? Is like, I could see it becoming a stable coin swap hub, because you have these various chains, and then all those different stable coins are like also in tandem with each other. So, you know, you could go, so first off, like, yes, you can do that. You can right now already swap from USDT, like native ERC20 USDT, to BUSD, and then back to USDC if you wanted to. And then with UST coming on, same exact thing there. So, and yeah, I think what you touched on is like the added benefit there is that then UST is, because any asset on Thorchain is just set by the market. Like, there's no external oracles or anything like that. It's just pure incentives. That means that like any ARB that comes up is an immediate profit potential. So now you have UST in the mix with USDT and USDC. So they're, you know, that's all kind of helping the peg become stronger by kind of linking the whole system together. And then also all the other assets on Thorchain are going to be priced in terms of those stable coins. So whatever the leading stable coin is kind of sets the market for what the overall pricing is. So, you know, if a stable coin was off, then suddenly that would mean the Bitcoin price is off, and suddenly there are just like a million different ARBs you could do to bring it back.
I think it's been really cool to watch over time. Like, it's a really cool economic design to say, hey, there's no prices in Thorchain, there's no oracles. Everything's just about balancing the pools to determine the prices, right? And if you look right now, like even on a volatile day like today, you know, we've got BUSD as the largest pool, so that's baseline $1. The other, even though they're ERC20 stable coins, are within 0.2 of a penny. You know, so we've got 1.002, and that's accounting for, you know, the ETH gas to arbitrage and settle those coins, it's just been really cool to actually watch the process work and to watch the ARBs do their thing anytime there's a trade. It's been kind of a economic beauty to watch that unfold, and it's only going to get stronger with UST, and all those coins are going to, you know, work together to create a more solid and predictable future.
Yeah, and then it's also worth kind of emphasizing that any of those ARBs that do come up, that's just more profit potential for the underlying LPs and nodes as well.
Absolutely.
Because that's just swap volume, because all of that arbing is just using the protocol itself. So, you know, you could think of arbitragers as kind of, in a way, one of the main customers, if you will, of this.
Awesome. Thank you for the response. Take it easy, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Cool. Anyone else want to hop up here? If anyone on the panel has any other questions or topics to get into?
Yeah, I would around that question about that sort of autonomy, being able to operate without worrying that a government or some other party is going to be able to shut you down. I think along those lines, like, is privacy, right? So I'm just wondering if there's any way that 4chain, ThorSwap, Rune is like integrated. Whether it's a privacy token or a privacy chain. I'm not like super technical, so I wouldn't be, maybe I can't even ask the question in the right way, but like, you know, it's something like Secret Network, for example. Is there any way to integrate privacy into what ThorSwap does, or is that even necessary?
Absolutely, that's definitely coming. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Haven protocol, but that will probably be the first privacy coin that's going to be offered on the ThorChain network. They just announced a couple of weeks ago that we're getting really close with that integration. So on the topic of like stable coins, that's going to be an additional stable coin that will be available in the ThorChain protocol, but is totally private. So not only will you have access to, you know, a stable coin there like XUSD through Haven, you'll also have access to other really interesting stable coins like XAU, for example, where you can peg to the price of gold, or XBTC, where you basically privatize your Bitcoin and still have a peg to Bitcoin and exposure to the growth there. So the Haven protocol is going to be really cool. There's also been Zcash and Monero talk. I know that the Dash team has been working quite a bit there. So there's definitely a lot coming in the privacy space.
Yeah, that's an exciting area. And you, yeah, you mentioned Secret, which is one I'm excited about too. And I would imagine, yeah, it does sound like Haven will be the first privacy coin, but I would imagine Secret could be relatively simple as it's Cosmos based. So, you know, I could definitely see that one rolling out as well. And it's also just so interesting how like ThorChain itself is not like ThorChain itself is not private. But as soon as there's any private chain that is integrated, suddenly, effectively, everything becomes private. At least this is the way I'm kind of viewing it. And maybe there's some holes in my thinking. But, you know, you like as soon as Haven is integrated, well, then you could like swap Haven to a brand new BTC wallet. And now suddenly that is essentially private as well. it's really interesting. And so while it's not built in like to the protocol directly, I think it there's a huge synergy between ThorChain and privacy coins. So that'll definitely be like a huge emerging area, probably over the coming, well, it sounds like Haven's really soon. So, you know, hopefully within the next, I don't even want to put a date, but you know, hopefully relatively soon, we'll see that stuff rolling out.
Yeah. I think it's a really great point that you made, that ThorChain will never be a privacy network, but they will enable you to connect to privacy networks and to use them. So everything that happens on ThorChain will always live on the public ledger, simple to audit, easy to see where the money comes and goes. And I think that actually protects ThorChain in some way, because in they're less of a custodian there of anything private. Every single thing that happens in the ThorChain network is out in the public for anyone to see.
Absolutely. I just thought of a funny way of putting that. It's like you could say BYOP. It's like bring your own privacy. It's like you can use Thorchain, you can make it very private if you choose to do that. But Thorchain itself is not necessarily private, but it will allow you to do whatever you choose, really.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I would love for someone who's smarter than me to be able to, like, I don't know, dive into that a little bit in a thread or something, to be able to help, like maybe give a use case of how that might work. Because I obviously privacy in DeFi and on the blockchain is really important and it's booming. So I think it's a great way to gain attention as well. But thanks.
Hey, this is Familiar Cal. Just real quick, you're asking about the Haven update. And as far as I know, that Thor names need to be introduced and in the protocol, like live in the protocol, before Haven and Monero integration, which will be likely the first two privacy chains that are integrated to Thorchain. So look out for Thor names coming first, which will, I believe, will go to StageNet first for like wargaming and testing to make sure that they're completely secure in the protocol, and then look out for Haven integration.
That's definitely true of Monero, because they have a really small limit to the amount of metadata that you can include, like for your memos. Haven, actually, when they forked Monero, they have a larger memo available, so Haven doesn't have the requirement of Thor names like Monero does.
Cool, yeah. And just to touch on Thor names, and for anyone newer, the cool thing, like, there's something really unique about Thorchain specifically, and like a naming service, which is that, like, you're talking about every chain, right? So basically Thor names is like akin to like Ethereum name service or something, like a .eth, except the difference is that this name actually is a multi-chain name. So you would have like chad.thor or whatever, and then that would actually point to like an entire Thorchain wallet, meaning a Bitcoin wallet, an Ethereum wallet, a Terra wallet, a BNB wallet, in the future, a Haven wallet. And you just have one like public, easier to remember name. And then that points to all your various chain addresses, which, so you could definitely imagine that kind of, you know, further down the road being like a really simplified way of just like, hey, send me crypto, basically. So really cool stuff.
One name to rule them all.
Exactly. Cool. Coming up on the hour, but I'm down to keep going if anyone else wants to jump up and ask any last questions. Maybe Shen, maybe now would be, we could do the giveaway.
Yeah, did we have three speakers, was it? Or four?
Oh, people who ask questions?
Yep.
Shoot, I wasn't noting that at the time. I think there were four.
Yeah, I'm going to say four as well, at least.
Yeah, Marty, John, who went off. Dhruv was up. And
Crypto Chris.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Badger.
Badger didn't count.
Well, we can give out to... we can give one out to all the speakers, for sure. I mean, all the people came up and asked questions, for sure.
Nice.
Just grab all the Twitter names. And to receive your code to redeem your Terra sweater, you'll receive a DM from the Thor Chad's Twitter account. And from there, you'll receive the code that you can use at the in the store. And that store link is also actually pinned to the Thor Chad's Twitter account right now, if anyone would like to go check it out.
Yeah, I'll get that. Let me get that pinned up as well, just so people can easily navigate to it. But the sweater looks really sick. I want one.
Yeah, very clean. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah. So this tweet I'm pinning is not the sweater, but it is the link to the store. But
yeah, that's the link to the whole store. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So what we're referring to, it's like a gray long sleeve crew sweater with this really cool Terra Thor swap design. So yeah.
Yeah. See it on the front page. It's the Terra Luna X Thor chain sweater, and there are only 100 to be sold on the site.
Nice. So limited, basically an NFT, but a sweater.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. We are planning on adding some extra utility like NFT versions of and NFT rewards with merch store purchases. So things like that, an extra Web3 utility will definitely be coming with future merch store releases. So
that's awesome. Yeah, the fact that it's only 100 of them kind of makes it way cooler now. I feel like I need to go in. But yeah, so yeah, any of the speakers that came up, you are the winners. So we'll DM from ThorChads or?
Yeah, from ThorChads, yeah.
Got it. So yeah, keep an eye out for a DM from the ThorChads account.
I've got John and Marty. Do you have the other two?
It was Crypto Chris, but not sure if he's still in here, but I will try to find his. Yeah, I'm trying to find his at though, so we can DM him.
Yeah, it's at Crypto Chris. I can see him.
Okay, great. Cool. So we'll get that sorted out.
And if we forgot anybody, because we weren't really writing these down, definitely DM us.
Yeah, of course. If you feel like you were missed, you know, just reach out. But
exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Any closing thoughts or?
I'd also want to add that we have an engage to earn campaign going on in the ThorSwap Discord right now. So we're tipping UST actually using a tip bot in the ThorSwap Discord for any community members who've been going out of their way to help other newer members learn and answer questions and, you know, just help engage other members of the community who might be having any problems with anything. So if you feel like you are able to do that and help out other community members, for sure spend some time in the ThorSwap Discord, and you might even get some UST out of it. We're also running trivia competitions in the ThorSwap Discord, so at random times there are trivia drops, and if you answer some of it correctly, then you can win easily a little bit of UST. We also plan on adding some more further ways that you can do different methods of engaging and teaching other members in order to earn UST as well. So keep your eyes on the ThorSwap Discord if you would like to earn some UST from helping out other ThorSwap and ThorChain users.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is, even if you think that, you know, you're not the expert and you don't know how to help people and you don't know how to answer, come hang out and you'll surprise yourself. You'll absorb a lot of information really quickly. Maybe a question you have today, you can help someone with in a week. Maybe you'll have a different way of understanding or explaining something that no one else ever had before. So definitely join the Discord, come hang out in the community, and we'll all get smarter and stronger together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just I can definitely vouch that, yeah, just spending time in the ThorSwap Discord and even just listening to other people answer questions for each other and help each other out, you'll learn so much content about the entire chain as a whole. So yeah, I definitely recommend swing by if you are interested in learning a little bit more about ThorSwap and the ThorChain ecosystem.
Yeah, I love that you added that, Mogarchy. I mean, that's basically where I'm at in a way, you know, just a community member that was learning, and now suddenly I'm up talking about it and stuff. So, you know, I wouldn't underestimate your ability to like explain to newcomers. There's always somebody that you know, needs help with the step that you just figured out or something that seems obvious to you at this point, even if you don't have to know everything. Like I definitely don't, not even close. So yeah, I love that. And really cool to be able to earn some UST off of it too. That's great. And especially that it's UST and not just, you know, because obviously we big fans of UST. So that's really cool. But yeah, so yeah, I think we'll wrap up. Don't think there's anything else to add, but yeah, this was a lot of fun. Definitely jump in the ThorSwap Discord so you can participate in that and stay tuned for all those updates we were talking about. Terra coming in a week or so, V2 in a couple of weeks, aggregator in testing, VThor sometime next month. So yeah, a lot of stuff rolling out. It's ThorChain season and yeah, let's get it.
Yeah, I mean, just about every metric you can think of, Thorchain is stronger than ever before. We've got way more nodes. We've got more chains coming online. We've got aggregators in the works. We've got more interfaces. Our interfaces are all upgrading. We're connecting to more types of wallets. The only metric we're not quite doing so well on is the rune price, but coming soon. Don't miss out.
Yeah. Well, as the lead dev, please do something. No, I'm just kidding. No, we can't do anything about that, but I agree. Yeah, not financial advice, but everything is just infinitely stronger than even when it was at all-time high. So exciting times, and once it is at those price, then everyone will be rushing back, I'm sure. So that's the way it goes.
Yep.
But cool. Yeah, we'll wrap up. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We're doing these every other week. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. And also the Thorchain Weekly is tomorrow morning. So can jump in there as well.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Cool. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was ThorSwap Updates, Luna, V2, Aggregator, and more. Recorded on Thursday, February 24th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Digging in the dirt, trying to find the treasure. Learning how to mix this business with pleasure. I'm kicking a lecture, spitting conjecture. High as a bird while I'm flipping the gesture. Living like a jester, investing these extras. Dissecting a mess, the eagle looking headstrong. Infinitesimal, the spitting is next world. And if you don't agree, well then I'm afraid you're dead wrong. So leave the mess hall and clean your plates up. I can't believe the rest of y'all feed on makeup. Bereavement breakup to rearrange your wake up. Big ol' bloody mess like a scene from Braveheart. Driving race cars that beat the fate. It's hard to meet your maker when the features ain't marked. Trying to slide underneath the paywall. I'm afraid this motherfucker's gone AWOL.
You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and kick down your neck.
Sir, yes sir.
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved cult?
Sir, to kill sir.
No, you're a killer.
Sir, yes sir.
Let me see your war face.
Sir,
you got a war face?
Living on the earth, trying to mine some headspace. Give a little gift like I'm lifted dead weights. The risk of resting kicks the nest egg. Squaring the nuts, y'all feel intestate. The breeze swept in, no need of resting. The least depressing, so sweet but messy. I need the best day to keep professing. And hope my body doesn't leave behind a red stain. Pouring out a little liquor for the dead states. While the rest wait and bleed domestic. No means to gestate, breeds the best cake. Beauty on the back of the queen she just ate. So take a little dive down a K-hole while I flip the B-roll right into A-roll and make the payroll go a little further. Replace the merger with the tainted version.
I'm a snowball!
God, snowball, what are you doing, sir?
I'm a snowball, you're fired. Private Joker is promoted to squad leader.
By the numbers, I will teach you. Now get up, get on your feet.
Terra Spaces.